gained it, or I think I've made it, or I'm doing pretty good. Just bring out the scroll and just say, oh, you forgot about item 147 we still have to go over. So.
Hey, so you bring up a good topic. So we're making another audio here, just a general one here. So you bring up another topic. So let's talk about a topic here. You see a brother that's in sin. Could be fleshly sin, could be false doctrine, could be whatever that is outside of the character, nature, the doctrines, the oracles of God. How do you handle it? What do you do? Who wants to talk about that?
Isn't there scripture on this?
I'm sorry?
It would depend on what the sin is. Is it, are they teaching false doctrine? Did they just offend you in the fleshly sin?
Well,
because do I either go to them by themselves because they just offended me? And if they don't, then I take two witnesses and I take it to the whole body. But if they're teaching false doctrine to other people, you'd have to publicly mark them to warn your neighbor.
So let's talk about that. So what's the criteria? How do we do it? So does it really matter? Let's just say they're in sin. So it's sin is false doctrine is sin. You know, they're using cuss words somewhere. That's sin. Let's just say they're in sin. Sin is sin. Transgression of God's law. So what's the process? You got a close brother. He's in sin. You know about it. What's the process? What do we do?
I'm just going to toss this in here. The first thing you would do is basically bring it up. You would not be quiet or overlook it. You would bring it up and you would talk to him. And if he repents, if he sees his sin, then basically you have a probably good discussion about it with the rest of the body, so everybody sees it, knows about it, and can guard against it. If he does not repent, then it has to be brought up to the body so that he would have the chance. And I guess the step would be admonishment. And if admonishment doesn't work, then a rebuke. And if a rebuke and admonishment doesn't work, then separation.
Yeah, so you're basing that off of Matthew 18, I'm assuming?
Matthew 18 and just the general pattern I would see in Scripture is that admonishment would come first, then exhortation, and then a rebuke, and then separation if no repentance is shown.
Yeah, after bringing it. So the standard that Jesus gives us is, he said, if your brother sins against you, it says, but let's just say your brother's in sin. I believe it's the same thing. He said, go to him one-on-one, right? And he said, if he repents, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't listen, take other brothers. If he doesn't listen, take him before the whole body, which would be all your brothers. And if he doesn't listen, doesn't repent, put him out like a publican. We all agree that's the process, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus gave us as the standard. So let's talk about the minutiae of details in the middle of that. So let's say your brother did something and you're the only one that knows about this sin. And let's say it's a sin. I'm just giving you some parameters here. It's a sin that doesn't affect anyone else but him. Let me give you an example of a sin. You saw him. You know that he takes too much time, and he used to have the idolatrous hobby of fishing, and you have found out that he's back at it. And when he should be studying or edifying brothers or maybe working a part-time job because he's got some debts or going out preaching the gospel, he's back to his fishing. So it doesn't, and he's single, doesn't affect anybody but him. So I have a question. If it's a sin that just affects him, so he's got idleness, and you go to him one-on-one and you say, brother, I drive by, I see you out there, brother. You're wasting your time. Well, you agreed that was your fault. That was your stumbling block. He's like, yeah, I'm back at it. And he repents. Let's say it's the first time he's backslid on it. Do you really have to go and tell anybody else?
I don't see any reason to.
What do you think?
Being a Packer.
What do you think, Brother Kuo?
Is there a kind of like a line for the like public rebuke? Like, what I'm curious to know if that would be a time for like public rebuke, so that others would fear of doing this, because you don't want them to do it again, if at all. So like making it like public would make it a little bit harder to go back to it.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're talking about 1 Timothy 5:20, where he says, publicly rebuke them in sin so others will see and fear.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, Brother Patrick, maybe I have a comment on that, but maybe you could speak to that, and I'll see what you say, and then I'll add my comment.
I think if this is a brother, and this is like the first time you stumbled into it, what I would counsel is, why don't you share this? Why don't we share this with some brothers you trust for accountability, so that we can all watch you? It's not just to make your sin public, it's for accountability purposes. I don't think you have to, it would warrant the, you know, public rebuke before everybody if it's just he stumbled into it and he's repenting of it. But I think being more open with it, like, I mean, if this brother's truly repented and he sees his sin, I don't think he would reject having other godly brethren to hold him accountable in it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And again, there's the Word of God doesn't lay out every single thing for us, so we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to discern rightly. So if it's a sin that he does that's not it hasn't been problematic, it affects no one else, it doesn't affect the body, I believe you go to that brother, and if he says, you're right, I got to stop that, help me, I believe you can become his accountability, and I don't think he has to go any further. Now, you catch him 2, 3, 4 times in the same sin, in a short time, or probably at all, and you need to say, brother, we need to involve some other brothers. You need more accountability than what you have. So I think you have to ratchet up the exposing of sin, as we're talking about, based upon the response and how the person handles the sin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because
I
mean, note,
I would think it would be. It would be good. Like if I stumbled into something, I don't think personally I'd have a problem with having other brothers know about it for accountability purposes, because a wise man loves a rebuke and accountability.
Right.
But again, this would be something that, like, if the brother was not comfortable with it or something, then okay, I'll be your accountability. But if it happens again, then there's a problem.
Yeah, because you'll notice Jesus said, "Go to your brother, and if he repents, it's done." Jesus doesn't say, "Tell anybody else."
Yeah.
Now that, again, now we weigh this, got to use wisdom. Now let's take that same brother, another brother who's married. You find out your brother has a girlfriend outside of his marriage against his wife. Do you think you can go to that brother the same way and go, brother, and he goes, oh, you're right, you caught me with another woman. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Don't tell anybody. You think that's the same kind of sin?
No.
No.
What would have to happen then?
The brother's wife would have to know.
Yeah.
I think at that point it would be a public rebuke.
Yes. Then,
because that's not something you just stumble into. I'm sorry, it's not. I mean, that's not just... I mean, okay, how would I word this? This isn't something that you just slip into. That's like more deliberate action. If that makes sense.
I don't know.
Some level, but it's more serious, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, though. I think any sin that you choose to willfully do is in the same category. I mean, look at King David. He just stumbled into that one, didn't he? He saw her. I want that. He went for it. I don't see any premeditation there. He didn't like say, I got to spy me out some new wife. He just saw her. I want her, temptation, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He fell. So I think any man can fall that way. So I guess, and that's not really the discussion we want to take on now, but I think what I'm trying to get at is the level of sin and how the sin affects other people. Let's do another scenario. Let's say we made Brother Patrick our deacon, and he's controlling the money to help other saints. And Brother Akuo finds out brother Patrick's taking money out of there to go buy himself worldly stuff. It's the same kind of thing. It's now a sin that's affected the whole body. It's a sin that needs to be exposed because now we can't trust him with the money, and he needs to be held accountable, and everybody needs to know why. So I think we have to look at sin. While all sin is sin, there is different gravity to sin. And I could prove that because Jesus talks to the Pharisees about what they do, and he talks about weightier matters. And he's talking about keeping the law. So if you break this one, it's weightier than if you break this one. You go out and murder 10 people, the ramifications of that sin are much weightier than if you get a speeding ticket, which is still sinful breaking the law. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess how do you balance that out with everything from whoremongers and sorcerers down to those who love and practice a lie will still be outside of heaven?
Oh, well, they're all sin. But there ones other some are just weightier than others. Some sins affect many people. Some sins just affect you.
So, okay. So what your basis, to kind of sum up, so I'm understanding you right here. If it's a sin that affects others, it needs to be dealt with others. If it's a sin that affects the individual, you can deal with it on an individual level.
Yeah, that would be the model I think we see in Scripture. But that still doesn't mean that there are some sins that just affect a person. Like, you know, take example, a young man who's not married and he gets caught in porn. And he goes, brother, give me accountability. And then he gets caught again. Now that may have to be exposed so he gets higher level of accountability. And I'm going to say it, shame. Yeah, shame is part of the exposing process. Brother Kuhl brought up 1 Timothy 5. Paul says, rebuke those publicly who are in sin so others may see and fear. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 5, putting the man in a sexual adultery, sleeping with his stepmother, out for the destruction of his flesh. And so I think there is a certain amount of, we could call accountability, but it is kind of shameful. Hopefully, if you're a believer and your sin is going to be exposed, that should cause shame, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not ashamed that you're sinning, you got a problem. So, yeah, some sins are against the body or against a woman, a wife, or against children or whatever. That has to be told. Other sins that just affect that person, if he can get a hold on them, maybe it can stay between the two brothers. So I'm just kind of trying to give us all a handle of there's no carte blanche dogmatic way to handle all things. You got to look at the sin, see how weighty it is, meaning all sin is sin. It could cost him his soul. Yeah, one lie. But is it weighty enough to involve other brothers or the body? Does that make sense?
So one more question to toss in there. I didn't word this right, but let me word it as a question. So how would you deal differently between a more deliberate sin versus, for example, you just, just getting in your flesh, getting impatient, something like that, which could still be, technically you could say, yeah, you made that choice, but it's more something that you just got in your flesh. It's still a sin, but it's less than you doing something that you actually have to go, like, for example, let's say somebody stealing something, which would be far more deliberate.
Right.
So would there be a difference in there and how you deal with it as well?
I think the difference really comes down to, does it affect other people and does it affect the body? And then other people need to be brought in. And if it's a repeated activity, then other brothers probably need to be brought in for more accountability. So I think that's kind of the formula that we see. Because if somebody can put down a sin quickly and you say, brother, I forgive you, God forgives you, march on, don't ever do that again, he never does it again, I don't think there's any reason to broadcast it. It's dealt with. It's put under the blood of Christ. He did what he's supposed to do. It's done. Now, if it affected somebody, like he's cheating on his wife, he can't just put his girlfriend away and say, don't tell anybody. He's got to go because she's involved. I mean, there could be diseases involved. There's a lot of things. There's that weightier matter. You know, he could end up with a baby outside of marriage. And there's all kinds of things that could happen in those cases where other people have to be involved. So I'm just kind of trying to pick away at the idea of, we have to kind of walk circumspect walked in wisdom with dealing with each sin matter as it comes up, because some are much more weightier and some are more complicated than others. Does all that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's just a lot less complicated to really stand on guard and not do sin so much.
Amen. That's the formula. Stop sinning. I get it. Yeah, good point. But we know it's going to come. We know it does happen. It's happened to many of the men in the Bible, and it just has to be dealt with correctly. And so you think about, look at where 2 Thess 3, Paul talks about a lazy brother. Can we all agree laziness, while it is a sin, is kind of like lower on the sin scale, right? Weighty matters. It's not like committing adultery on your wife. Just being lazy is a lower level sin. It's not as weighty. I don't want to say, we're not talking about like the levels of sin like the Roman Catholics do, but Jesus did talk about weightier matters. So Paul says in 2 Thess 3, a brother that's lazy and doesn't work, to shame him, he's a don't even eat with him, so that he may be ashamed. So there is a certain level of shame that has to be brought in. But I believe this is for people that are like unrepentant, stubborn, keep doing it. So it's another good reason, brothers, if you do stumble into a sin or you choose a sin, fix it quick. Repent. Put it behind you. Tell your brother, I'm not doing it no more. Hold me accountable and get going. That's a good remedy. What are we seeing from people, like some people we're trying to help? What do? I don't know if God turned me over. They sit in their sin. I don't know if I can overcome my sin. They keep doing their sin. I don't know if I can leave my sin. That makes it a much weightier matter, does it not?
Yeah.
They've added rebellion to their sin.
Yeah. It shows their heart. It shows their heart.
Yeah.
So
plus, they add another sin, because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Right.
So they're adding another sin, on top of their rebellion.
Amen. So it becomes weightier. It's more sin. One sin will damn you, but now you got more. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about, is make sure that we dole out the discipline based upon the sin, based upon who it affects, based upon the person's response. If somebody repents quickly and gets it right, that's an awesome response. It shows they're receptive to the Spirit, they're walking in it, and they want to obey the Father. If somebody is dragging and kicking and screaming to leave their sin, and this has happened 5 times, it needs to be exposed to everybody he's united to, so everybody's on guard about it. Because he's leavened.
Yeah, and I guess when it comes to sin and dealing with sin, the one thing that would be wrong in every situation is to not deal with it, because a little leaven is a whole lump.
Amen. So if the brother isn't dealing with it in his life, you see it, he's obviously not dealing with it because you saw it, then you need to go to him to deal with it. And if he deals with it quickly and you can help him, done, gone. If it doesn't affect anybody else, it's over. It's washed away. If it affects other people or he keeps doing it, you got to involve other people. It may come to where he needs to be put out of the body, because he will not take the steps to overcome it. And we see that a lot. People want to just live in their sin and claim the blood of Christ. It doesn't work that way. You don't get cleansed unless you walk in the light. Part of walking in the light is walking in the truth. That means repenting of every false way and sin. And so what all of this talk should do is it should put a little fear in everybody. It should. Paul says so they'll fear. The last thing you should want to happen in the body is for you to get called out over your sin. Can you think of, from God's standpoint and the shed blood of Jesus, can you think of anything worse? What's worse than getting called out in your sin?
Not getting called out. Getting turned away.
Yeah.
At judgment.
Yeah, judgment. Hell would be about the only worst thing. So if we're looking at what God wants us to do, living in our sin and doing it should really make us go, wow, I don't want that. I better get this going. And ready, brothers? What's the best way to make sure that your brothers aren't judging you?
Judge yourself the hardest.
Amen. Make sure that your life is a filter. and you are the best filter for your life, and you're learning, and you're testing your doctrines, and you're walking in the Spirit, and you're looking at other men that have done it ahead of you going, I got to do like they do, what they do, Paul does, Jesus did, what my brothers are doing, and then you filter yourself out, and there's no sin to be found. You're not walking in it, you're not living in it, you're not sloppy, you're not slothful about it. So it should encourage us to be afraid. We don't want to be called out. We don't want to ruin our witness, our reputation. We don't want to ruin our blamelessness. We don't want to ruin our perfection, maturity, being complete. And then we want to strive to get it out of our lives. And then our brothers help us do that. The Word and the Spirit ultimately is the how we get it done. So I just wanted to talk about that today, about how we deal with it. Go to your brother one-on-one. Help him. Love him. Give him accountability. If it needs to be public and someone else is affected, he needs to be the guy to go, yeah, I need to go tell other people. I get it. He needs to own up to his sin. And a lot of times, isn't that the case? Somebody that's really well-meaning about getting rid of their sin, won't they be willing to tell other people to help them get rid of it?
For the glory of God, yes.
But if people want to hide their sin, who hides in the darkness?
The accuser of the brethren.
Yeah. And John 3:19-21, those who love their sin, they stay in the dark because the light reproves them. So we don't want to be that way. And so let us walk in. And last thought for me, isn't this part of the fear and trembling of salvation? I would have fear and trembling to live in sin that one of my brothers has to see to come call me out. That would cause fear and trembling in me before God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Last thoughts, brothers?
Well, let's just keep guarding one another and ourselves most of all.
Amen.
And then hopefully, I mean, you do have to deal with stuff, but if everyone has a heart for the truth and they're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, then there's a good chance it won't have to come to the worst case scenarios.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It's going to happen either in our lives or new saints that come in. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. So that's why I wanted to talk about it so we do it rightly. And Brother Kevin, any last thoughts?
Just this verse came to mind. If the righteous are scarcely saved.
What shall become of the sinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let us remember that verse. Brother Kuo, anything from you?
I suppose verse 15 of the Philippians study that we just did, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So he'll make it known one way or another. The light always exposes the darkness. So.
Amen. Good point, brother. And Patrick, anything else?
No, that was all.
I have one last thought. If you see a brother in sin, we probably should have covered this. I think we kind of did. Go to him. Don't talk behind his back. And you will hear me say, I may talk about a brother and I may talk about a situation to another brother, and I will often and almost always say, this isn't gossip because I've actually told him and he knows about it. And he agrees with it. And everybody else has the right about that. If you come to me and you talk to me about something, you have every right to go to another brother, unless it's something you go, oh, Brother Tupo's put it away. It's gone. I ain't gonna tell anybody else. That's your choice. I'm with Patrick. If you catch me in something, I don't care who you tell in our body. It'd be nice if you didn't just go and run and tell any stranger. I don't know the point of that. But especially if I repent of it, of course. Make sure that it's not a gossip situation and you go right to your brother, and I think that'll help build trust, will it not?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the reason I go to other brothers, I don't go to other brothers. Like if I go to Brother Kuo and I go, Brother, you got to work on this. And he goes, yeah, I know, I got to work on it. I go, Brother, we're going to hold you accountable because that you can't be doing that. Yeah, I know. Thank you. I know you're right. I got to do it. Now, if I go tell another brother, it's only because Brother Kuo and I would have an agreement that he's open about his sin, and I know he is open about whatever. And I don't know of any sin that he's living in, whatever he struggles with. I'm using an example here, but it would be to help another brother, like pray for him, or maybe to get another brother's counsel and go, I think maybe we need to get somebody else involved. So we never go and talk behind a brother's back to gossip. It's always redemptive is the purpose, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yep.
It's for help, not harm. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, even Matthew 18 backs up what you're saying, because if you go take another brother to approach someone who hasn't repented yet, you have to tell him everything that's going on.
Right.
But it's not for the point of gossip. It's for the point of trying to get this brother to see his sin and be accountable to it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So that's just the last thought I had to say. There's a go right to the brother. That will build trust. He'll say that you loved him enough to went to him rather than talking behind his back before you ever go to him. That's like the worst thing you can do. Go right to him so then he can say, and you could say, hey, I brought it to you, brother. And, you know, if you don't deal with it, I'm going to have to tell other brothers. And even if you do deal with it, maybe you want me to tell other brothers so they can pray for you and help you. And then you have build that trust to where we're all like a safety net to each other. We're not trying to throw each other out of the net. We're trying to hold each other in the net and do it for God's glory.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, brothers. Thanks for your time. Good topic.